Chapter 18. Spire Albion, Havel Morning, Spire Arx Manor. 12 hours after the fighting ended, Grim wanted nothing so much as a bath and his bunk on Predator. He ached for them, in fact. When he was this weary, his sleep would be too deep to be disturbed by dreams of the men he had lost in the fighting. He could put off, for at least one night, being haunted by the faces and limbs that had been crushed, scorched, and mangled by the first battle of what could be a long and costly war. Instead of resting, though, he and Creedy followed a slim, aging, gentlemanly sort of fellow named Vincent from the entry hall of the Spire Arx Manor down a hallway with polished wooden walls and floors, decorated with some of the finest art in Spire Albion. According to the engraved brass plaques beside each piece, there were paintings from the giddy days of the New Dawn, 2 centuries before, sculptures from the Olympian master MacDaggett, and other pieces, some of them attributed to relatively unknown artists currently working in Spire Albion. They were exquisite, Grim thought. He approved of the taste of whoever had decorated the hall. They were shown into what appeared to be a study, also furnished entirely in wood, and lit with candles rather than lumen crystals. There was a large desk with 5 chairs set neatly in front of it. Vincent nodded to the chairs and said, "If you will wait here, sirs, he will be with you shortly."
"Of course," Grim said.
He and Creedy sat while Vincent departed. It was perhaps a matter of 2 or 3 minutes before a door in the rear wall of the study opened and the Spireark came into the room. He was a man of no impressive height and what might charitably be called a scholarly build. But Lord Albion's eyes were sharp and hard, and he moved with a brisk, no-nonsense sort of energy as he approached them. Grim and Creedy rose at once to meet him. Albion came around the desk to offer his hand to Grim.
"Captain Grim," he said, "I hear extraordinary things about your service to the Spire in the face of the surprise attack."
"Sire," Grim said, bowing his head slightly, "this is my XO, Byron Creedy."
Creedy mumbled something Grim couldn't understand and shook the Spire Arx's hand with a kind of numb shock on his features.
"Well," Albion said, "I know how tired you both must be, so sit, and I'll be as succinct as possible."
They sat, while Lord Albion rested a hip against the edge of his desk, looking down at them with calm assessment clear in his eyes.
"I'm afraid you made a serious mistake today."
"Sire," Grim said,
"you proved yourself extraordinarily capable, Captain," Albion said. "I can hardly let something like that go unremarked."
"I don't understand, sir," Grim said, frowning.
"Captain, your clarity of thought in the face of unexpected disaster is a rare quality. It's a poor reward for such heroism, but I'm afraid that I must insist upon continuing to use you for the good of my spire."
Grim was quiet for a moment. He wanted to sink into a tub of hot water and soak away the violence and fear of hours of skirmishes with the Roran Marines. He wanted to sleep. Hadn't his men given enough?
"Sire," he said in a measured, quiet voice, "I have already offered such skills as I have in the service of Albion. The Spire made it quite clear to me that I was not needed."
"The Perilous incident, yes," Albion said. "I'm familiar with what happened. Or perhaps I should say, I'm familiar with both the history of what happened and with what actually transpired. You didn't have to accept your discharge quietly, Captain, but you did."
"It was what was best for the fleet, sire,"
Grim said.
"An arguable point, I think," Lord Albion said. "But your sacrifice was, without doubt, a good thing for the fleet, if not for you personally."
"I didn't join the fleet to serve myself, sire," Grim said.
"The best never do."
Albion gave Grim a faint smile.
"But your previous difficulties are irrelevant, Captain. The Spire Council is, as we speak, voting to declare a state of war with Spire Aurora. The Spire needs every capable commander it can get.
I hardly think the fleet will welcome me back in any capacity, sire, Grimm said in a voice that came out diamond hard, though he hadn't meant it to. No one wants to work with a proven coward.
I do,
Albion said.
I'm not talking about returning you to the fleet, Captain. I want you for myself.
Grimm blinked. Sire, what I did today was what any competent professional commander would have done in my place. It does not qualify me for a position in your personal service.
Perhaps, Captain, judgments about what qualifies a given individual for the Spyrarch's service might best be made by the Spyrarch?
Lord Albion suggested, his eyes sparkling with quiet humour. Grimm shifted in his chair uncomfortably.
Sire, I'm no diplomat, so with your leave I'll just say it and beg your pardon ahead of time if this comes out sounding unpleasant or disrespectful.
Creedy's eyes widened slightly, but he stayed as silent as a stone. Albion arched a brow.
Oh, by all means, Captain, speak.
I don't like it here. Spending more than a few weeks in this dreary old mausoleum makes me feel as if I can't breathe. I don't understand how any of you can stand it day in and day out. I'm an aeronaut, sire, living on a deck since I ever could remember. I belong in the sky. I belong on my ship. It's the only place that feels right. Thank you for your offer, but I don't want another job.
I understand, Lord Albion said. But you proceed from a false assumption. I don't want your service as an advisor on my staff, Captain.
He folded his arms and narrowed his eyes slightly. I want an airship helmed by a captain I can trust. Grimm and Creedy traded a surprised look.
Sire?
I have need of a ship to serve as transport and support for a mission for my guard, Albion said. I've decided that I want Predator, along with her captain and crew, to fill that position.
What if they don't want to do it? Grimm asked. Creedy made a choking sound.
I can be a very persuasive person, the Spyrarch said.
You have no legal authority to do that, Grimm said.
You're right, but I mean to see it done all the same.
Perhaps it was the fatigue, but Grimm found himself growing genuinely angry. Sire, he said stiffly, Predator is not for sale.
I am not for sale.
That brought a wolfish flash of a smile from Lord Albion. He pointed a forefinger at Grimm and leaned forward slightly.
Exactly, Captain, exactly.
You've served Albion as a privateer for 18 months now. This would be no different.
That's very generous, sire, Grimm said cautiously. Perhaps, though, you have not been made aware of Predator's state of repair. She's in need of refitting. It may be some time before she's skyworthy.
Decades, perhaps, Grimm thought.
She's running on nothing but her trim crystals.
I'm not an aeronaut, Captain, the Spyrarch said apologetically. Or an aeronautical engineer. What does that mean, precisely?
She can only go up and down, Creedy said in a helpful tone, and she has to do it very slowly.
Ah, Albion said, brightening. As it happens, that is precisely what I need your ship to do.
Grimm narrowed his eyes.
Meaning what, exactly?
I'm sending a team to landing, the Spyrarch replied. It needs to be done quickly, before dawn, if possible. I'm sure that your ship is adequate to...
Grimm rose, his heart pounding harder and louder as his anger grew.
Sire! He all but snapped. With all due respect, there is ample transport to landing. Send them down in a barge or a windlass.
Lord Albion's head drew back slightly, his eyebrows lifted in surprise.
Captain, I am not sure why the idea upsets you so.
My ship isn't a barge, and she's bloody well no windlass, Grim snarled. And while I'm alive, she never will be. Not for the fleet, not for the bloody Spire Council, and not for you, sire. Thank you for the offer, but I cannot help you. If you will excuse me, please, I must see to the needs of my wounded and dead. Creedy.
Grim turned to leave, and Creedy lurched up out of his chair to follow, his face pale.
Albion sighed audibly. Just as Grim reached for the door, he said,
"That's a shame, Captain. I wish we could have worked something out.
Do you perhaps know someone in the market for new lift-and-trim crystals for a ship Predator's size? It seems I'll have some spares on my hands."
Grim froze with his hand on the doorknob. He tilted his head and then turned slowly, inexorably, back toward the Spire Arc. Albion gave him a feline smile.
"Do this work for me, and you'll be making the trip down to landing with top-of-the-line replacements from the Lancaster Vattery. I'm told your engineer can have them installed and calibrated within a week."
"You would do that?" Grim breathed. "In exchange for what?"
"This job,"
Albion said.
"One job. Take my team to landing. Provide whatever support you can for them while they are there. Bring them back here when they're done."
"One job," Grim said.
"Frankly, Captain, my hope is that you will see the advantages of my offer and be inclined to work with me on an ongoing basis. But if you want nothing to do with me after this, so be it. Keep the crystals and go your way."
"If I did, you'd be throwing away a fortune."
Lord Albion shrugged.
"I prefer to think of it as an investment in the future, Captain Grim."
"What say you?"
Grim exhaled through his nose. The anger was still burning, but smouldering alongside it was hope. Unattainably valuable replacements for Predator's damaged crystals, waiting to be installed. His ship rising above the mists again to sail in the blinding light of the sun, his crew's livelihood secured, and yet Predator would be bound to no one but her captain.
Freedom.
Grim realized with a sudden shock of purely mental impact that nothing on earth could convince him to turn down such a deal.
"I say," Grim began slowly. Then he sighed. "I say that you are a manipulative son of a bitch, sire."
"Each and every day of the week,"
Lord Albion replied, nodding. He met Grim's eyes.
"And I don't turn my back on my people, Captain."
He hadn't said, "the way that Fleet does," but it hung unspoken in the silence after his words. Albion lifted his hands, palms out, as if signalling the end of a bout, and regarded Grim with a frank gaze.
"It's as simple as this. I need you, Captain. The Spire needs you."
Grim clenched his right hand into a fist for a moment, and then relaxed.
"Mr. Creedy."
"Captain?"
"Return to Predator. Inform Engineer Journeyman that he has work to do. Make ready to sail to landing."